Chapter 19. Power. Hephaestus had descended into the bowels of the ship. A chemical atmosphere pervaded here, anathema to human life, and necessitating both bodily protection and a rebreather. Crew still roamed these parts, equipped with the appropriate environmental trappings and accrued auspex to help with navigation, though sightings were rare. The lower decks, the catacombs, as they were sometimes known, were as labyrinthine as they were deadly. Stacked pipes ran in every direction, ferrying plasma, coolant, waste and other gases and fluids that all contributed to the running of the ship. They ran for miles, literally, snaking around colossal turbines, ranks of hydraulic pistons and mass compressors. There was power here, definable, tangible power. Hephaestus had felt it ever since he had passed through the first bulkhead. He felt it now, sickly sizzling, as he walked through a pall of chemical fog. A pair of heavy servitors, Gollum Alpha and Gollum Beta, followed sullenly. Hephaestus had modified them for adverse atmospheric conditions, and they wheezed like stim addicts with every draw of their respirators. Adapted also for heavy lifting, each servitor had a pair of hydronic forearms and was swollen with rapidly grown muscle across the back and shoulders. Servos groaned in their trunk-like legs with every ponderous step. Past the immense runoff tanks, it was here from where the fog exuded, and a huge gate stamped with the Icon Mechanicus stood. Even rust-rimed and colonized with clumps of biomechanical algae, it looked indomitable. Forged of a ferroceramite alloy and placed here by the vessel's original shipwrights, it was the literal gateway to the beating heart of the Emperor's will. The main power core churned behind it. Hephaestus could feel it in his bones. As a scion of both Mars and Macragge, he had a certain awareness of energy, its passage and purity, that his brothers did not. As a tech marine, he had been taught the ways of the Omnisire and the machine spirit. Even with the great gate sealed, Hephaestus could feel an imbalance. A warp siphon, that is what he told the captain. It was an accurate, if imperfect, term for what was happening to the ship. As if perceiving his thoughts, the luminaries suspended in the ship's rafters above, the only source of light in this part of the catacombs, flickered and went out. Hephaestus engaged his armor's stab lamps, and two beams cut through the large chamber, alighting on the giant skull and cog of the Icon Mechanicus. Its hollow eye sockets glowed red like dying drum fires.
"An ill omen, Omnisire?" he queried, expecting no answer.
Tech Marines did not usually put trust in superstition or signs. They believed in logic and the motive force behind all things. But Hephaestus had seen enough on board the Emperor's will these past 5 years to know that reason could not explain every existing phenomenon. Flicking open an access panel on his vambrace revealed a small screen, data spooling across in crude green monochrome. He released a blurt of Beinharic, the complex machine language or lingua technis of the Martian priesthood. The device in his vambrace transferred the arrangement of ones and zeros into an unlock code. He waited. Nothing happened. Behind the faceplate of his helmet, Hephaestus frowned.
"Perplexing," he said to the golems.
Neither replied, their slack-eyed gazes unmoving from the sealed gate. Hephaestus sent a second tranche of Beinharic, a breacher code known only to the master tech marine aboard ship. This time, the gate reacted, the red fire changing to emerald green, and Hephaestus took a step back. A third Beinharic command saw Alpha and Beta move forwards and approach the gate, where two side panels had slid back left and right of the monolithic slab of alloy to reveal a large wheel recessed into the metal. Both golems locked their forearms around each wheel like pincers. After a short expulsion of gas from their shoulder valves, they began to turn the wheels in perfect synchronicity. Inch by grinding inch, the gate opened. Heat and light bled out from the core furnace beyond, limning Hephaestus's armour a wan orange. When the opening was wide enough, he started forwards and signalled for the golems to cease all activity. They slumped where they stood, unpowered. What he saw past the gate quickened his pace across the bridge that led to the core, a flow of chemical runoff bubbling beneath his feet. The core was like a gigantic generator, only far more complex. There were signs of corrosion and chemical overspill at connection points. Parts of its metal casing had warped, twisting and bulging with corrupted expansions. Several of the wired conduits were scorched black and melted where they had burned out. The level of degrading Hephaestus saw was the product of years of neglect and disuse. He had seen to the core's maintenance himself. Therefore, the corrosion was not of natural origin. The furnace burned timidly in the background, lethargic and close to extinguishment. Some of the access ports were exposed, the inputs a match for his own mechadendrite interface. Black, ichorous sludge dribbled from the cavities, having dried out in a crusted wound tract down the metal. It all led to an inevitable conclusion.
Incursion.
Though the warp had undoubtedly eroded the ship's ability to function, it had not done so without help. So when the threat markers lit up in Hephaestus's retinal display, he was already engaging his defences. That split second of empirical premonition saved his life, as a burst of weapons fire splashed against his hastily energised refractor field. Light flared with the shell collisions. It chased back the shadows and blinded his revealed assailant. Part cyborg, part mutant, part Astartes. It wore old power armour, draped in ragged black robes, and recoiled against the actinic glare of the refractor field, shouting out in pain as its retinal lenses overloaded. In the same instant, a Volkite pistol sprang into Hephaestus's hand, magnetised to his gauntlet, and he fired. The shot had been aimed at his assailant's faceplate, but went slightly astray as they managed to turn. Instead, it struck the coupling around the neck, instantly deflagrating the metal and splitting the hermetic seal. Air toxicity around the core was lethal, even for a traitor space marine. The warpsmith's helm broke off, hitting the deck with a clang. A scarred, grey face looked at Hephaestus with malice. The traitor marine fired back, a plume of burning promethium that lapped around the edges of Hephaestus's refractor field. He was unscathed, but momentarily blinded. It also fouled his targeting array, so his next shot went wild. The traitor marine was moving, a swarm of serpentine mechadendrites uncoiling from its scabby robes and armour. It was also choking, though as the fire marring Hephaestus's vision ebbed, he saw a crusting membrane beginning to form over the traitor marine's exposed face, as its mucronoid organ went to work. Skin was already flaking off, though, dissolving like parchment in acid. Yellowed bone gleamed beneath. Hephaestus fired off a rapid salvo, striking armour, eroding soft-sealed joints. The traitor marine stumbled, one of its serpentine arms whipping around some pipework to steady it, as the others snapped out blades and churning saws. Hephaestus engaged further defences, stepping back as the abomination desperately hurtled at him. An array of lascutters, plasma torches and melter guns attached to multi-jointed servo arms snapped from their mountings on his back. The resulting fusillade cut the traitor marine apart, bisecting limbs and cleaving through armour as if it were nothing. The discombobulated pieces struck the deck in a noisy mess, mechadendrites sparking and flopping weakly with the dying dregs of abruptly severed power. Only then did Hephaestus feel the pain receptors in his body light up like mercury flares. He clutched his side where the shot had struck him. Blood and oil oozed from between armour plates. The wound was deep, and he staggered, holding on to the wall to steady himself before welding the armour shut and restoring its hermetic seal. The weapons array retracted behind his back, and Hephaestus was about to return to the core to determine exactly what had been done to it, when Alpha and Beta charged him through the gap in the gate. His termination protocols had no effect, some hostile coding driving the cyborgs and overriding all other commands. It bled off them like an invisible fog, briefly fouling the Tech Marine's visual returns and slowing his reactions. Alpha struck him across the chest, the forearm lethal and denting Hephaestus's plastron. Beta clamped his left forearm and squeezed.
Hephaestus shunted away the agony to another part of his brain. The vambrace of his left arm had twisted, and the bone was being crushed. He used his right hand to unclamp a short, haft axe from his belt. A thumb and forefinger twist of the grip saw the haft lengthen to a long polearm. Hephaestus swung, the cogtooth axe blade burring. Oil and biological matter spattered his armour as he bisected Alpha across the coronal plane. The resultant downswing clove Beta's skull in two, the blow hard enough to split his rib bone and lodge the blade halfway down the servitor's chest. Organs and machine parts spewed out between the tear in Beta's environment suit, like an overstuffed sack finally bursting its stitches. The biological slop mixed with Alpha's in a grimy, dark slurry. Hephaestus's armor systems registered severe damage. His primary and secondary heart showed massively elevated activity. The rapid influx of hyperendorphins had made him groggy. He leaned heavily on the cogax, using its haft as a crutch. The left arm was useless and hung at his side. The plastron had held, but his ribplate beneath had suffered severe trauma, leaving every breath feeling like churned glass on his insides. Blinking rapidly and trying to prevent his body from going into extreme shock, Hephaestus saw figures through the gap in the gate. They were moving quickly, hunting through the shadows and the chemical fog. They wore masks. They were coming for him.